Well, I'd like to invite you to turn to the book of Revelation this evening, chapter 8. And I'm going to read a couple of chapters. We can't go through every single detail tonight in the sermon. The sermon this evening is called The Seven Trumpets. The Seven Trumpets. And just before I read chapter 8 and chapter 9, a friend of mine, we were talking recently, is an elder in our denomination about preaching, and we were discussing together that a preacher should be able to write on a postage stamp what the meaning of the sermon is. Now, obviously, that would depend on, I'll choose a good size postage stamp rather than a small one. But if I was to write on the back of a postage stamp what this sermon's going to be about, it's this, regarding the seven trumpets. That every time you hear of natural calamities and disasters, that is the seven trumpets, all under the governance of the Lord. I've just sticked it in on the back of the stamp, as it were. So that's what we're going to be looking at. The natural disasters and calamities are all under the governance of the Lord. And next time we hear of one here and there, that we can say to one another, that's the seven trumpets. And it's God that's in control of all these things. But let's hear the word of God. I'm going to read from 8 verse 1 to the end of chapter 9. It's not too long. But the Bible says in the book of Revelation that there's a blessing for the one that reads the book of Revelation, and there's a blessing for the one who hears it. And so it was intended, as all the books of the Bible are, to be read publicly, especially in the assemblies. When the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it on the earth. And there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Now the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to blow them. The first angel blew his trumpet, and there followed hail and fire mixed with blood, and these were thrown upon the earth. And the third of the earth was burned up, and the third of the trees were burned up, and all the grass was burned up. The second angel blew his trumpet, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and the third of the ships were destroyed. The third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star fell from heaven, blazing like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many people died from the water because it had been made bitter. The fourth angel blew his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of their light might be darkened, and a third of the day might be kept from shining, and likewise a third of the night. Then I looked, and I heard an eagle crying with a loud voice as it flew directly overhead. Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth as the blasts of the other trumpets that the three angels are about to blow. And the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to earth, and he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. He opened the shaft of the bottomless pit, and from the shaft rose smoke like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened with the smoke from the shaft. And then from the smoke came locusts on earth, and they were given power like the power of scorpions on the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any green plant or any tree, but only those people who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were allowed to torment them for 5 months, but not to kill them, and their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings someone. And in those days, people will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them. In appearance, the locusts were like horses prepared for battle. And on their heads were that looked like, what looked like crowns of gold, and their faces were like human faces, their hair like women's hair, and their teeth like lion's teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the noise of their wings was like the noise of many chariots with horses rushing into battle. They have tails and sting like scorpions, and their power to hurt people for 5 months in their tails. They have as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek he is called Apollyon. The first woe has passed. Behold, two woes are still to come. Then the sixth angel blew his trumpet, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour, the day, the month, and the year were released to kill a third of mankind. The number of mounted troops was twice 10,000 times 10,000. I heard their number, and this is how I saw the horses in my vision, and those who rode them, and they wore breastplates the color of fire and of sapphire and of sulfur, and the heads of the horses were like lions' heads, and fire and smoke and sulfur came out of their mouths. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and smoke and sulfur coming out of their mouths, for the power of the horses is in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents with heads, and by means of them they wound. The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, nor give up worshipping demons and idols of gold and silver and bronze and stone and wood, which cannot see or walk. The last verse of chapter 9, nor did they repent of their murders, or their sorceries, or their sexual immorality, or their thefts. Well, here we come to real drama in chapters 8 and 9, don't we? The third section in the book of Revelation. The first section was the seven churches. They were real churches, but give us an example of the kind of things that the church will always face between the first appearing of Christ and the second appearing. Then what is the second section of the book of Revelation? It's the seven seals. And we've looked at that already, and each of the seals that are broken open explain the kinds of things that will happen between the first appearing and the second appearing. And now the third section in the book of Revelation, and it's very memorable in the imagery that God gives to the church, and it is the seven trumpets. The seven trumpets. Trumpets are loud. Trumpets give a clear sound, and we see these seven trumpets being blown by the angels. They're not trumpets just left, as it were, on the side. They are blown, and they're blown by seven angels. And so we have three headings for us tonight. I'm going to wait until the third heading before I explain to you what the seven trumpets are. But the seven seals is the first heading, the seven angels the second, and the seven trumpets the third. And it's all in the context as well of us preparing to come to the Lord's table and seeing the greatness and majesty and the power and the authority of our God. And so let's get straight to the first heading, the seven seals. Now we see in chapter 8 and verse 1 that the Lamb opened the seventh seal. So it's the end of the seventh seal, and the seventh seal then prepares the way for the first of the seven trumpets. And did you notice that little key word there, beginning with S, in the first few verses? When the Lamb opened the seventh seal, as it was broken open by the Lamb, what happened? There was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Now, again, this is explaining spiritual truth. We know in eternity there isn't the same concept of time. But let me just say, if I was to say to you now, we're going to sit here in silence for half an hour, it would be fair to say we would A, find it difficult, and not just the children either, but we find it very uncomfortable. But here we find something very significant. The seventh seal is broken open. And we read in Revelation great praise and thanksgiving. It seems as if the book of Revelation is filled with the noise of heaven. The seraphim circling around the throne. Holy, holy, holy. Suddenly, there's silence. What does this teach us? Well, you try sitting in silence at home for half an hour. See how you get on. I think our generation finds it particularly difficult. Fidgeting fingers trying to find where the phone has gone in case and something vibrates or whatever it is. And yet the church is to be different. The church is not to be like the world. And so here we see something very significant. There was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and the seven trumpets were given to them. This is what we may call a sacred silence. And our society is afraid of silence, but we need in the church to be in a position that we can still our souls before the Lord. And so therefore it's helpful for us as we begin to contemplate about to worship God, that we're able to still our souls before the Lord, before we come to worship, to prepare ourselves. And it gives us a sense of one thing particularly. I think silence gives us a sense of eternity. Of eternity. And so here we see that silence is something that gives a sense of preparedness, of waiting upon the Lord. And it's not the first time we get this. In Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 13, the word of God says, "Be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for he has roused himself from his holy dwelling." We also find in Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 20, "The Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth keep silence before him." Now, if we just move on from silence for a moment and just think about the seven seals, you may remember some of them. The first one was a white horse, symbolizing Christ. The second seal was a fiery red horse, symbolizing wars and rumors of wars, taking peace from the earth. The third seal was a black horse, symbolizing economic hardship and pressure in the earth. And these things will keep on happening between the first and the second coming. The fourth seal, when that was broken open, was the pale horse. Remember, the pale green horse, symbolizing death. And we know that the earth is filled with death through plagues, wars, sickness, violence, and so forth. The fifth seal represents the martyrs for their testimony of Jesus Christ. And then the sixth seal is the second appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ and the wrath of the Lamb. And now the seventh seal is a sense of silence in preparation for the seven trumpets. So here we see silence, a quick summary there of the seven seals. But let me just draw our attention to one thing also, another thing rather, in our first heading, the seven seals. And what is it? Because if all the decrees of God are already going to happen, then what do we do? Are we just carrying on kind of like robots? Far from it. God reveals through Christ something very significant for the church in the first few verses of chapter 8 in Revelation. Verse 3, "And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne, and the smoke of the incense," again for the second time, "with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. And then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it on the earth, and there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake." What do we make of this? Well, it's this, that though the decrees of God are there, that nothing can shake them or change them, what is connected here are the prayers of the saints. Twice, "and the prayers of the saints." And so God has ordained for the fulfillment of his decrees that the prayers of the saints are going to be part of the fulfillment of God's purposes on earth, which is why Jesus Christ taught us to pray what? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when we gather for the midweek meeting, we're gathering together to bring our prayers before the throne of grace. When you kneel by the side of your bed and you pour your heart out before the Lord, not just for your own situation and family, which we should, but praying for many and various things, the prayers of the saints are gathered up. And yet you and I are so frail, are we not? How many times we have family worship and we pray, and then we all disappear our different ways, and we can hardly remember what we prayed, can we? Not so the Lord. He gathers up the prayers in heaven, and they are used for the fulfillment of the purposes of God. The prayers of the saints. So may we not be found lacking in prayer, publicly, privately, and on the Lord's Day when the minister prays, that those prayers are gathered up before the Lord, and he will fulfill them. And as we teach that question 88 of the Shorter Catechism, prayer is a means of grace. Well, our second heading is seven angels in verse 8 and verse 6. Now the seven angels who have the seven trumpets prepared to blow them. And then verse 7, the first angel blew his trumpet. Verse 8, the second angel blew his trumpet. Verse 10, the third angel blew his trumpet. Verse 12, the fourth angel blew his trumpet. Now, this is probably not a very good analogy, but I've never been into ballroom dancing or anything else like that, but you see people dancing and they have certain moves and one's leading, the other one's following. But the principle is this, that as a minister preaching, it's not my job to invent my own steps from the Bible. We need to follow the Bible carefully and bring before the church the whole counsel of God. And it would be remiss of myself, I think, or as a minister, to preach on this section and to overlook the place of angels and the purpose of God. In fact, the book of Revelation is filled with the reminder that God is the Lord of hosts, and there are myriads upon myriads of angels that are there to do the bidding of the Lord. And here in each one of these, the angel blows one of the trumpets. In fact, it's interesting, in the Westminster Confession, it talks about the decrees of God for mankind and also for angels. And you think, well, why angels? Well, we see here in the book of Revelation, it's so prevalent. And so as we think about the seven trumpets, it's the angels who blow them, and they perfectly fulfill the will of God. Not a single angel in heaven arguing with the Lord, oh Lord, I'm a little bit busy today. No. They perfectly fulfill the bidding of God. But I want us to think for a moment, as we think about these seven angels, what about the Lord Jesus Christ in his own ministry? And there, as we peer into the Gospels again, we see how the angels of God were there presiding over, watching over every phase of salvation. We think about the conception by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary was announced by who? An angel. Remember the birth, the heavenly host praising God as the Son of God was born. Remember the temptation in the wilderness when Christ was 30 years of age, and at the end of that time the angels came. Gethsemane, one of the darkest moments for the Son of God as he was about to go to Calvary, and at one stage in Luke's Gospel, as Christ prayed, an angel came and strengthened him. And then it says it got worse, even still in his agony, until he came out from Gethsemane. But an angel was sent to strengthen him. What's remarkable in the accounts of Calvary as Christ is crucified, it's one of the times there are no records of angels at Calvary's cross. There he stood alone condemned, the substitute to die. And there the Lamb of God bore our sin and defeated death and Satan. What a glorious thing for us to think that he stood alone condemned and he bore the weight of your sin. Do you realize how much your sin costs God to redeem you? No cheap salvation. But then at the resurrection of Christ, the angel said, announced what? What did they say? He is not here. He is risen. And as he ascended to heaven and giving the priestly blessing over his disciples as he went up as the high priest, there the angels saw him ascending and said, in like manner he will so come. And when Christ comes back again, he will come with angels as well. So we see that angels have a very significant part. First heading is the seven seals, giving that overview there. Our second heading, the seven angels. And so I want to just make this point before we move on and now finally explain the seven trumpets. That we do not seek angels in the church. We do not look for angels in the church. We do not, I believe, pray for them. God will send them when he deems. Much less we never pray to angels. Never. They're not under our bidding and under our power. There's no such thing as Christians commanding angels to do things. They're the Lord's great army. I don't know if you know much about the army and military structures, but you can never walk into a barracks as a non-officer and start commanding other people around. And even if you were an officer, you can't just give orders to people whom are not under your authority. And sometimes there's been false teachings in the church with an obsession for angels, thinking that angels are there to do our bidding. They are not. It's God's army, and the Lord hasn't given you a rank and an official to be ordering around his angels. But they are there to uphold the elect of God. And I want to give us this beautiful promise before we move on, is that in the Psalms it says this, he will be our guide even unto death. And he will be our guide even unto death. And that's a precious promise for us. So seven angels, just brief look in that one. And now thirdly, as we draw to a close and begin to explain this, the seven trumpets. The seven trumpets, as we've heard verse 8, verse 6. Now the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to blow them. What is a trumpet? Has a very clear sound. You can't mistake the trumpet if a family member is learning to play the trumpet. You're not saying, what was that? Was that someone playing the violin? No, it's a trumpet, not to be played at midnight. It gets people's attention. And so what we're going to see, these seven trumpets, what the Lord does, it gets the attention of people. Now in the Old Testament, trumpets were used for warning and calling the people of God to come together, to assemble, or perhaps for war as well. There was even a feast, the Feast of Trumpets. Numbers chapter 10. Now there's a sermon, this will preach. Numbers chapter 10. The two silver trumpets. The two silver trumpets. Are you familiar with that passage? Go away and read Numbers chapter 10. What were they? These silver trumpets. We may call them the silver trumpets of redemption. And they were used, they were blown over the sacrifices, the peace offerings and the burnt offerings. You think, what's this? What do? Well, I'm a full-time trumpeter. Wow. What do? I blow the silver trumpet over the peace offerings and the burnt offerings. So even the sacrifices, it was a loud experience. Why would God require that? The trumpets are being blown, pointing forward to the day when there will be no more trumpets needed. Because when Jesus Christ sacrificed his own body on the tree, all the Old Testament ceremonial worship was finished. And we're going to close tonight singing Psalm 150, which records the Old Testament ceremonial worship. Praise him on the trumpet. That was these silver trumpets being blown over the offerings. But we now have silence in heaven for half an hour. Why? The atonement is complete. There's no more silver trumpets needed to be blown. The atonement is perfectly perfect. Completely complete. But also in the New Testament, trumpets are found, and they're in relation. Guess when you're going to hear heavenly trumpets again? If we're alive on the earth, the second coming of Jesus, there will be that trumpet blast. Are you looking forward to hearing that? What a great day that would be. What a privilege it would be to be on the earth at the second appearing of Christ. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. So let me give you a summary now of the seven trumpets. It's only a summary, and it's this. And I explained at the beginning what those seven trumpets are. They are, every time you hear of national calamities and disasters, we need to think of the seven trumpets, that all natural calamities and disasters are under the governance of the Lord. What's the first one in 8 and verse 7? The first angel blew his trumpet, and there followed hail and fire mixed with blood, and these were thrown upon the earth. And a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees was burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. Generally speaking, that the earth is affected by these trumpets. And there's the first one. The second one, in 8 verse 8, is the sea. This represents, the first one, natural calamities and disasters upon the earth. The second one, in 8 verse 8, the second angel blew his trumpet, something like a great mountain burning with fire, was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. These are natural disasters upon the sea. Now, third of the ships, it's symbolic language. We happen to be, as a family, in Sri Lanka about a year after the tsunami had hit, and we saw pictures of the devastation that happened, and ships just shattered everywhere, trains just turned over by this disaster that happened upon the sea. When we hear of such a thing like a tsunami, we do not respond in the same way that Rowan Williams responded. I can remember seeing a newspaper of learning about the tsunami, and the previous archbishop, he announced this with the devastation of that tsunami, and indeed it was devastating. How did he respond? He said it caused him to doubt the existence of God. How do we respond? We say, this is one of God's seven trumpets, and they keep happening, disasters upon the sea, but we don't doubt God. All disasters are under the governance of the Lord. So the first one are natural calamities and disasters on the earth. The second trumpet upon the sea. The third one is the rivers. At 8 and verse 10, the third angel blew his trumpet. A great star fell from heaven, blazing like a torch, and it fell upon a third of the rivers. So natural disasters upon rivers. What about Sheffield? We had a bit of a flood disaster just a few years ago. It's one of the trumpets of God. It's getting the attention of fallen man and showing fallen man, this world can soon be shaken. You need to repent. We see that towards the end. So the earth, the sea, the rivers, and the fourth trumpet, 8 and verse 12, the sky and the heavens. The sky and the heavens. And in 8 verse 13, it says, then I looked and I heard an eagle crying with a loud voice as it flew directly overhead. Woe, woe, woe. And the last three trumpets are intensified in their effect upon the earth. And these are not to be seen as single events, but they will keep on happening between the first and the second coming of the Lord. It's to encourage the church that no matter what natural calamities and disasters there are, our God remains upon the throne. And so we see this word woe, and that's probably one of the last words you'd ever want to hear from the Lord Jesus Christ. Is your faith in Christ this evening? Have you placed your trust upon Christ? Because for those who die in their sins and die in their rebellion, and then come to the judgment seat, they will hear the words that were given in Matthew's Gospel. Woe unto you, Capernaum. Imagine that, Capernaum had Christ preaching, doing the miracles. And yet they hardened their hearts. They would not repent. And it's a little word, just a single word, woe. But it's the last thing you ever want to hear from the lips of Christ. And so the offer of the Gospel goes out again here tonight. There's no excuse to hold back and put off coming to Christ another day. Draw us away. Let us run. May we run to Christ tonight before it may be too late for some of us. Maybe the devil whispers in your ear and says, don't do it just yet. You've got so many dreams to accomplish. Listen, dreams accomplished without having God at the centre of our lives will be seen as worthless nothings. There's nothing better than being a Christian. And perhaps for some the devil whispers and says, well, God, he doesn't have an exciting plan for you. Your life will become nothing but miserable Christianity if you come to Christ. Well, nothing's further from the truth. Jesus said, I came to bring life, and that more abundantly. You try following after sin and see if sin will bring you real happiness. It won't. The wages of sin is death. So I appeal to you tonight to come to Christ and rest upon him and cling to him. And you don't need to be a theologian to pray for salvation tonight. You can be a small child that would simply say, Lord Jesus, would you receive me? Would you forgive my sin? It may not even be as complicated as that. It's a prayer of the heart, crying out to the living God. Will you do that even today? Well, the fifth trumpet talks about locusts. And here we get dramatic imagery. And I think the locust here is referring to often in the Old Testament symbolizes famine. And it says in Revelation chapter 9 and verse 4, an interesting verse, they were told that the locusts, these scorpions and so forth, these creatures, they were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any green plant or tree, but only those people who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And so we see a discrimination here, that the ones who have the seal of God, it's a symbol for the elect of God. It's a symbol for the elect of God here now. Different to the seven seals. Don't confuse those up. God knows exactly those who are his. There can be a crowd of 1 million people, 2 million people. And God doesn't need to be wondering who are mine and who are not. He looks down and knows every single one of the elect, and even more, he knows every one of the hairs of their head. What a loving Father we have. Trumpet number 6 is plagues. Trumpet number 6 is plagues in 9 and verse 13. Then the sixth angel blew his trumpet, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the altar. And we know that from Matthew's gospel, Jesus Christ says there will be plagues. Matthew 24:7, there'll be famines and earthquakes and various places. These are the beginning of birth pangs. And Luke's gospel, there will be great earthquakes in various places, famines and pestilences. There'll be terrors and great signs from heaven. And trumpet 6 is indicating plagues upon the earth. Now, you and I, with all the medical science today, we're not too worried about plagues. Well, there was a time when God blew his trumpet and the great plague was spreading through the earth and was taking huge, I don't know what percentage it was. Was it 20% or 25% of the earth's population went with one of the plagues in times past? So God reveals this here for us in advance. And the seventh trumpet is actually, I've not read it out tonight, it's from chapter 11. And we're not going to turn to it much tonight, we'll save that for another day. But the seventh trumpet is the second appearing of Christ. Are you looking forward to the second appearing of Christ? What's at my aim tonight? It's simply this, that when there are natural calamities and disasters, we remember the seven trumpets. We don't look to one another. You hear the news. When there's disasters in the rivers, as we have in our nation, how do the world respond? Do they say, this is God, he's getting our attention? No, they don't. They say it's climate change. It's either global cooling, global warming, climate change, whatever it is. And it's doing away with God. But Revelation says, it's not climate change. It's Almighty God. And as we close this evening, and we see that all natural calamities are under the governance of the Lord, we see the purpose of them from God's perspective in 9 and verse 21 as we draw to a close. Nor did they repent of their murders or their sorceries, Verse 20, the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands. What are these natural disasters? These seven trumpets point to us the hardness of sinful man. The World Trade Center, we will rebuild again. Not even a thought that God is showing us the frailty of humanity. Neither did they repent. You believe in divine providence in its fullest sense, not just in your own life, but over all the nations, that God's providence is guiding us, his creatures throughout the whole earth. As we close tonight, as we think about the infinite God, the first application I want us to think of is not to cease praying and bringing before God the prayers of the saints until you breathe your last. And never think that prayer before God is not important. Revelation chapter 8 really shows us the importance of the prayers of the saints. Secondly, let's make sure we have a biblical balance, that we don't move into prayerlessness, thinking, well, God will just accomplish everything. No, that's what we've been taught here, that prayer is important. And thirdly, silence in heaven. We're not practicing a strange thing as a church, as we want to, as churches do all over the earth, but want to still people's souls before we come to worship God. I know this is very against culture. I know it can be uncomfortable in some ways. But the church needs the recovery of some measure of silence in her midst, because it reveals to us something of an act of reverence and awe and submission to God. As Revelation chapter 8 teaches us, there was silence in heaven for half an hour. Well, blessed be God for Jesus Christ. I know we've gone through and given a big overview tonight, but I hope that's helped to serve us to give us some idea of the third section, the first of the seven churches, then the seven seals, and briefly tonight we've given an overview of the seven trumpets, that all natural calamities and disasters are under the governance of our great God.